We are up to the very end of Licha. We still are in the middle of Sipsugim, right before Mikhail Kaloicha, page
530.
Okay. Okay, so we learned the two psukim, Yilachu.
How are you feeling?
Baruch Hashem, man. Much better. Baruch Hashem.
I heard you didn't have anything on Shabbat.
Yes, they're very nice bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah boy did a fine job, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So we are in the middle of the last two psukim on page 528. Okay, I'll just read this psukim very quickly. Yiru goyim v'yevoyishu, may the goyim see what is coming upon them, may they be put to shame, he called givura son. From all of their givura, they will be put to shame, recognizing that all of their power and might. Welcome back, shalom aleichem. All the power and might is not going to help them at all. Yesimu yod al peh, they'll put their hand on their mouth in shame. Oznem techerashna, different interpretations of what that means. Their ears will go deaf due to the ears will go deaf. They will not be different interpretations. They will not be able to listen to the success of Klal Yisrael. Yilachachu afar b'kanochash, they will lick the dust like a snake. We had all the interpretations. It means to bow down, or it means this literally they will. Not really clear what literally, but they will lick the dust. Kizaychalei eretz, like those that sliver on the earth. Yirgazumi miskuroi sehem, they will be terrified. Either means from what they have done, they will be terrified in recognition that they will be punished for imprisoning the Jewish people, putting them in the ghetto. Or it means they will now be imprisoned. They will now feel that they're locked up in their cities and are afraid to leave. El Hashem Elokeinu Yifchadu V'Yiru'u Mimeka, they are afraid, they will be the pachad from Hashem and be afraid of the Jewish people. We come out did here all the Mefarshim, if I'm not mistaken. And now we're going to learn over here Maimer Chazal and a Maimer, that's what we're up to, the Maimer Chazal. We did hear all of the Mefarshim. And in fact, there are no Maimer Chazal. I think did we complete everything? I believe we did, right? We did complete everything. So excellent. Okay, so let's now go. Mikhail. So that's right. We did begin to keep Mikhail Kamach. That's correct. I apologize too. That is correct. We began that post. Let's start again. Mikhail Kamach, page 530. Mikhail Kamach, Noisei Avad Al Devar Pesha, who is like Hashem, who Noisei Avad, he carries sin, the Avad Al Pesha, and he overlooks transgression. We just began these psukim. L'sh'eris nachala. So we actually did not read those words yet. It's the first time. For the remnant of his people, his inheritance. L'yehechezik lo'ad apa. Hashem does not hold on to his anger forever. You have to interchange those two words. L'yehechezik, Hashem does not hold on. Apo, his anger, lo'ad, forever. You have to, in order to translate it in English, it's easier to inverse the words. Ki chofetz chesed hu. Hashem has a desire to do chesed. We did not even do the mitzvahs, I believe, but just before you go into the mitzvahs, these last words is one of the most fundamental principles of Yadus. The Ramchal is the one who gets credit for enlightening Klal Yisrael to this principle, and the whole Yadus is built on this principle, that Hashem is a being who wants to do chesed. Oilam chesed yibone. The world is built upon a principle of chesed. The most basic question when you think is, why did Hashem create us? Why did Hashem create this world? There is so much pain and suffering and difficulty in this world. Why? What is this all about? What is the purpose of life? I was asked that question to Alexa. Alexa, I said, Alexa. I said, hey Google. There are all different nuschos you can say to your phone when you put on Google Assist, and it gave me some convoluted answer. I couldn't make heads and tails up, but this is the most basic question. What is the purpose of this world? It's a good question. And you need to have emunah in the words of Chazal to live in order to deal with that question when we see what goes on around us. Both the average person in this world suffers a lot more than feeling a sense of satisfaction and enjoyment. Most of life is a struggle. From the moment a person wakes up in the morning, it's a struggle. And yet people they want to live. The average, most people, 99% of society, they want to live. And why do they want to live? Because there are a few moments of joy that make it worth everything. Those few moments of happiness to see their children succeed, to see their children get married, to see a simcha, to see some accomplishment in this world, it makes all of the pain and misery and suffering worth it all. But really, is it really worth it all of that suffering? What was Hashem's plan? And the basic insight is, Hashem, according to the Ramchal, and this is something which I think is universally accepted by Klal Yisrael, and we take it for advantage that we believe this, even though we may not even realize what we believe, but we believe that Hashem created this world. Hashem created every neshama for one purpose, to do with that neshama chesed, to give that neshama tainuk, enjoyment, satisfaction, pleasure. And the ultimate pleasure is to be nene from the ziv hashchina. So then the question is, so if that's the purpose, so give the neshama tainuk, skip this whole world, and put every neshama in olam haba. Chazal answer, the principle of nahama dekisufa, that if Hashem were to take every neshama and immediately bring it to olam haba, we would not enjoy it, because we would feel shame. Built into the nature of a neshama is the desire to earn your keep, to earn, to deserve reward. That's what the reward will, that's the pleasure. I've earned it. This world is nothing other than a method, a technique for man to have the opportunity to earn the pleasure that is ultimately coming, that indeed is the purpose of creation. The neshama was created so that Hashem can bestow upon it pleasure, but the only way that neshama will enjoy the pleasure is if the neshama feels that it earned that pleasure, and this world was created to achieve that purpose. Olam, this world, chesed yibane, was built upon a foundation, upon the principle of Hashem desiring to give, to do chesed with man, and this is a necessary step. This pasuk we just read is another expression that says the same thing in different words. Ki chofetz chesed hu. Hashem is a being that has a desire, this expression in fact is maybe even more fundamental because it expresses Hashem's will. The other pasuk just is a statement of fact that this world, the world is a place in order to achieve Hashem's desire. The pasuk of Olam chesed yibane has to be understood together with this pasuk, ki chofetz chesed hu. Yes?
The concept of Shlemus of the Nevesh, and had there not have been a hate from Adam the Chava, there wouldn't be anything. That would be the end. That would just end with Adam and Chava.
So we don't really know what that means. You're saying something very, very deep, which is way beyond my pay grade. But other Adam Enoch and Ami, what it would seem is that Adam had a test. He had a very great test. It was tempting, the temptation. The pasuk makes it very clear. Ki nechmad ha'etz lamare v'toiv lahaskil. There are numerous expressions in the story of the Eitz Hadas where it makes it clear as day that Adam struggled. And if man would have been able to overcome his desire, he would have earned what was coming next. He failed. Because he failed, he brought death into this world, which demanded that he replace himself with a child. And that from that came the world. And if we would be able to count up all of the neshamas that existed since creation, it's impossible to know, but it would probably be in the trillions. How many neshamas came into this world? And Chazal tell us, Kishem shepartzufehem einam shavos kach, de'oiseihem einam shavos. Just as there are no two people in the entire world that look alike, there are no two people in the entire world that think alike. That's an awesome concept, to say that the trillions of people that have lived on this earth, no two of them think the same way. No two of them, when they make a bracha, okay, even non-Jew doesn't make a bracha, but when they appreciate a concept, no two people in the entire world, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, view something with the same perspective. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, such a concept. And all of that came about because Adam HaRishon sinned. I once spoke to a rabbi, and I asked him a question that bothered me. I asked him, I says, what happens if you make a mistake in life? You know, many times you're born into a situation, and okay, that is the way Hashem made me. I accept, I don't have a choice. I'm born into this society, into this family, into this is what I can do, what I cannot do. So that's what it is. So to a degree, it's easy to accept because you don't have a choice. But what happens in life when you make a mistake, when you're presented with an opportunity and you make a decision, and then a year later you look back and you say, I ruined my life. I had an opportunity. I made a decision. It was the wrong decision. It was a foolish decision. And because of that foolish decision, I now have to suffer the rest of my life. I quit. I can't accept that. If I was born into the situation, then I can say I accept. That's what Hashem gave me. But when you have no one to blame but yourself for your foolish decisions, and those foolish decisions ruined your entire life, it's very difficult to go forward to be positive because you have no one to blame but yourself. So the rabbi said to me, I asked this to a few rabbis over the years, I asked this too, and no one gave me an answer. One rabbi said to me on the spot, he said, it's not a kasha. He says, it's bashert to make mistakes. It was meant to be, and I said, I'll prove it to you, what you just said. What you just said is Adam HaRishon. So are you going to tell me that Hashem created the world just for Adam and Chava? We have this beautiful medrash that if Adam and Chava would not have sinned, so they would have been taken into Gan Eden and live happily ever after. And there would be no death. And if there's no death, there would be no need for them to have children. And because they'll live forever. Really? Do you really believe that is correct? That the purpose of this entire world would have been just for Adam and Chava not to sin? They should be overcome their desire to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and they will not sin. And in reward for that, they will enter Gan Eden and live forever. He said to me, it can't be. Everyone knows that can't be. The purpose of this world is sitting right here in the YI of Midwood in the morning kollel, struggling to get up in the morning and to be here on time. Can't be. It can't be. The whole world is just that simple. So what then? But Adam HaRishon committed the most grievous crime, and there's an infinite amount of material describing the chait, what he did wrong, and this and that goes on forever and ever. The answer is that's right. It was meant to be that he should make a mistake. How does all that work? We don't know. That's Hashem, that's all part of Hashem's plan. So when a person finds himself in a situation where he looks back and he sees he made a big mistake, and in his eyes, it appears that he destroyed his life by making a bad mistake, and he can't pull himself out of it, out of what has happened, he has to accept the fact that whether he likes it or not, that it was bashert to make that mistake. That now, what do you mean? But you're not supposed to make mistakes. There are consequences. Well, you have to live in many dimensions. That's right. There are consequences for your actions. Absolutely. A person makes a mistake, you're going to pay dearly for your mistake. But you also have to realize that when it affects you, when it affects your ability to move forward in life and be productive, you have to switch gears and you have to go into a different dimension. And in that dimension, you have to be able to say it was meant to be. Life is not linear. It's not sequential. You don't just go A, B, C, D and just go. There are many dimensions in life. It's true. You made a mistake. You're going to suffer the consequences. But in respect to quitting and throwing in the towel and stopping your car on the Washington Bridge, there you have to be able to go into a different dimension and acknowledge Hashem brought you here. It was Basher to make that mistake. And now the challenge, what he wants from you, is to deal with your current challenge. It's not so easy. These are hard words to swallow. But I got to tell you, from all the rabbis that I spoke to...
Another true proof is Moshe Rabbeinu.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He was destined not to go to Eretz Yisrael.
Exactly. It was a terrible mistake. It was a chet. The chet, the Me'am Riva. So the chet, you're going to say, he paid the price. But yet, you have to acknowledge in a different dimension that it was bashert. It was meant to be. Yeshua is supposed to take over, and with Klal Yisrael needed that he should not go into Eretz Yisrael for various reasons. So life is complex. To make life so simple and just say A, B, C, D, you're fooling yourself. There's a lot more realms and worlds that have to be analyzed. Today, Hashem gave us all this technology. They always show everything today in three dimensions. You watch the 6:30 news, they're not going to just say the news. They're going to show you the whole world. And the world's going to spin. And then it's going to spin right. Everyone's seen all of these special effects. They show you the complexity of the world. And they hone in on one little thing. They show you in all the visual effects we get today. It's a blessing that Hashem has given us, that Hashem shows us visually the complexity of the world. And the same way in the physical world, we're blessed today to realize the complexity. This is just an example of the complexity of the spiritual world, which is probably infinitely more complex than what meets the eye. Okay, let's see the Mitzvot Davar in this Pasuk. Pasuk Yudches. Mikel kamocha, b'sim devar v'yitena ha'idoy l'Hashem al slichas ha'avoyna sheyisa Hashem pesha amo. According to the Mitzvot, everyone's going to have, I'm reading the wrong parish, of course, that's only I would do that. Okay, at the bottom, Yudches, page 531. Mikel kamocha, chazar hanavi l'shabeach l'Hashem. We're in the Mitzvot David, page 531, the very bottom. Chazar Yudches, mi chazar hanavi l'shabeach l'Hashem al yi'ud ha'toyva. The Navi now, at the end of the Sefer, is coming to praise Hashem, to give Shevach. It's like Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, you start off with praise, and you then make your requests, and then you conclude with praise. Likewise, Micha, a Navi, when he gives a Sefer, you start off there's a style, a structure of how you speak. You give over the word of Hashem. We're coming now to the end, and therefore the end, the sign-off call is Shevach. Chaz anavi l'shabech l'Hashem al yud hatoiv, al yud hatoiva, on the designation. Yud means to designate. Hatoiva, this that Hashem has designated good for this world. Hashem is a God of good. I never appreciated this until I went to college and I took a course in philosophy. Okay, the core. And the Apikorsis that I learned there was unbelievable. You know, and then it lingers on. I get an appreciation. They tell you not to go to college. Don't take these courses, not the courses. It's really true. It lingers in my mind all the years, not the courses that I learned in college. And I'm talking over here. We're not talking over here some Grace College, Brooklyn College. Okay, we're not talking over here Harvard, Princeton, a PhD in theology. And on the one hand, you know, it's terrible. But on the other hand, you really get an appreciation of Yadus to see what the whole world is thinking. You know, we're brought up, you know, everything, you know, we're taught the MS, and then you go out there and what they think in the world, and they have these ideas that there's an evil God, an evil genius, and all of these different principles. I had a cousin who has a PhD in the philosophy of religion. So I was sitting at the Shabbos table with him, and I was telling him all of the different mahalas many years ago, and I forgot all the different details. I was telling him all the different theories about God, and his mouth dropped. He looks at me, you're yeshiva bacha. How do you know all this? I'm going for a PhD in the philosophy of religion, so I know. How in the world do you know all of these things? I said I took a course in Brooklyn College. They teach the same thing there in Brooklyn College. They teach in Princeton, the same thing. The same, you say this. Okay, obviously different, but...
The same, you had a lecture this Sunday about how they portray the Christians, portray the Jewish God, like a very angry, with a lot
angry,
of...
Angry, right.
With a lot of rules and no mercy. This, like to a computer, compared.
They're all different ideas. The Goyim who do not have...
He was doing the something, which is...
To understand Hashem is impossible. To understand, we try not to think about it. It's too much for us to comprehend the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Nevi'im and Chazal, they were very deep thinkers, and they told us incredible things about who is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We dive into Hashem. Who is he? What are his midos? The Yud Gimel midos of Rachamim is a very powerful definition of God. And the Goyim, when you go into a philosophy course, they don't know their Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. They have no clue. They have no clue. And we are blessed to have a Torah, to have a Mesorah, to have a Muna, to be able to wrap our heads around, of course, Hashem is infinite, but Hashem did give us an ability to at least, to some degree, have a handle in our minds of the rules of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they are the Yud, Gimel, Midos, HaRachamim. And these psukim, we're going to see, we're going to go through much more detail, these three psukim, Yud Ches, Yud Ches, and Chaf, are a description of the Yud, Gimel, Midos, HaRachamim. And that's why we lay this, we read this on Yom HaKippurim, Ad Mincha, after we finish Yoyna, after we finish Maftir Yoyna. No, we read this. We read these psukim. We go and we move the Navi to the end of Micha. We read these psukim. We also read these psukim on Shabbos Shuva. Not, there's a whole complicated story about that. When we do, because there are three Haftorahs, three Nevi'im. There are three Nevi'im that are read from Moshul's today on Shabbos Shuva. And one of them is Micha. And these psukim. So these psukim are read twice by many shuls. It's read Shabbos Shuva. And read again on Yom Kippur by Mincha, after we read Yoyna, Maftir Yoyna. And why? And these psukim again are said one and the third time. We all say Tashlich. Okay, this is Tashlich. This is the pasuk V'Sashlich B'Mtzulos Yom Kol Chatoisam. We don't just read this because this is Tashlich. We also read it because in these psukim these are the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which we are trying to draw from on Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Okay, so back over here in the words of the Mitzudos. Mikel Kamacha B'Sima Dvar Yitin Echaydil Hashem Al Shlichas Halvaynos, that Hashem has forgiven us. Sheyisa Hashem Pesham, Hashem forgives the sins of His people. Oimer Ata Kel Mikamaycha. Hashem, who is like you? Noisei Avoyin, you carry sin. What does that mean? Ritzin Eloimer. Hagam shetechila yisartam ba'avoinam, aval l'she'eris nachalosay lahadar sheyisharu b'keitz hayimin, lohem hu noisei avoin v'oiver al pesha. So that's a little complicated statement. Even though in the beginning, in the earlier generations, Hashem yisartam ba'avoinam, which he's interpreting to mean is that Hashem turns us away. Hashem, he is the one who rejects us. due to our rebellion, our sins, Hashem sidelines us, but does not destroy us. He waits for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, until the day comes, there's a she'eris. The she'eris, nachalosa, he learns, is the door of Mashiach. Lahadar she'yisharu b'keitz hayamin. And lahem, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the Malbim again. I did another Aveira. I read the Malbim, no wonder. I'm reading the Malbim again. Thank you for correcting me. I keep on going back to the Malbim. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the bottom. At the bottom, the two is David. Mikel Kamaicha. Chazor Hanavi, Lushabech Lashem Al Yud Hatoiva. Vyamar Mikel Kamaicha Noisi Avon. Ka'oimer. This means to say, Hine, Mishuas Adin. Ein Anuruim Luchol Hatoiva Ahi. We're not deserving of all of this goodness. Ki Anu Malehe Avoin. Aval Mihu Kel Kamaicha Hamaichal Esa Avoin. It is only Hashem who is forgiving. According to the Mitzudos, we are discussing one generation. We're not discussing Dor Mashiach. We're discussing a single in every single generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is forgiving. Noisei, he translates the words Noisei to forgive. Not the way I translated it last week. Noisei means he tolerates. That's pretty much what the Malbim just said. We'll get to that later on. Noisei, according to the Mitzudos stuff, it means to forgive. Hashem does not stand, does not demand punishment. He is not insistent there is a crime and the crime must be punished. He passes over, he moves forward. Hashem did not see it. Overlooks it. So here he goes and says that this refers to, indeed, who will he do this for? For those that will remain alive through the birth pangs of Mashiach. It's not really clear what he means over here. So he also wants to interpret referring to the door of Mashiach. In that generation only, the pasuk is discussing, Hashem will forgive and not look at their sins. Even when Hashem is angry, Hashem does not hold on to his anger forever. He is appeased on his anger. According to the Mitzudos, the chesed corresponds, is an antidote to kas. That's a very big chiddush, because I don't think the average person would say that. Person is angry, so when you say, you try to calm down an angry person, do you say to him, do chesed, do kindness? You don't say that. You say to an angry person, calm down, take a cold shower, let's go for a walk, let time heals all wounds. You don't say, okay, you're angry, let's do chesed. Let's do kindness. Person does not deserve it, but we're going to give him a gift anyway. You're angry, which means you're entitled to wipe him out. But you know what? Let's do with him kindness and let's let him live. It's not. It's a concept which we don't talk in those terms. When someone is angry, we just say, "Okay, you're angry." We acknowledge, but just because you're angry, anger management, go to an anger management class and learn how to be angry, but don't do anything. Isn't that the technique that we really get a sense? That's right. You have a right. Today we live in a world where there's always this concept. You have a right. You have to acknowledge the reality. Don't suppress. It used to be years ago, it was a generation of suppression. There's a problem, suppress it. Today, suppress it. Just suppress it. Today, that's not the approach you read about. The approach today, most psychologists, at least the impression I get is, no, it's not healthy to suppress feelings. You have to express them. But the therapy is, express it in a way that does not cause you to do something. To go take actions that are dangerous to yourself and to other people. You have to express and acknowledge and realize the problem, but Okay, live with it. Yeah.
I think what he's saying here is meet kale come over. Kale in the sense of the powerful one. In the same sense as Ezeb Givor Habashes Yitzro, so here the power of is that he withholds.
Excellent. Okay, that's Gevura. That really is something which we normally define as Gevura. Ezeb Givor. Gvur means might, power. Hakoivesh es Yitzroi. You're able to overcome what you would otherwise be naturally inclined to do. So kas is the same idea. Kel means yesh le'el yodi. Lavan said to Yaakov, I have power in my hand to do whatever I want to you. But I'm not. I'm going to overcome because Hashem told me not to. So, correct. So this, according to your understanding, the whole pasuk can pretty much be summarized according to this idea as this is Gevura. This is the word Gevura is power. A Zehu Gibor. What is the ultimate power? HaKoivesh Es Yitzro. To overcome what you would order or otherwise do. Right. Yeah.
Don't we also point, there are numerous psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens terrible punishment and terrible things that Chas V'Shalom can happen to us. Yeah, I once really, it says, Lohibit Oven B'Yaakov, and then it says terrible things, you know, that Chas V'Shalom can happen to us. So he explained it depends what kind of bear it is. If it's a bear of the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, there's different kinds of bears that we do. We just do a wrong thing, you know, all right. That's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu can overlook. But when we get to the bottom, you know, where it's a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything, then...
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do the next pasuk. Pasuk you test, yeah.
I understand now what tefillah. We say, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. What does it mean, Gomel Chasadim Tovim? Even though Hagmul has to be punishment,
uh-huh.
He Gomel the Chesed.
The Chesed, excellent.
Because Chafetz Chesed.
Beautiful. You're taking this pasuk and you're putting it into the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Goimel, you bestow Chasodim Tovim. This pasuk says, what is Chesed? Chesed is to overcome Avon and Pesha.
Anything. Avon and Pesha is the hardest one.
So when Hashem is Goimel Chasodim, we simply translate it to mean, Hashem is so nice, He's so kind, He gives a bonus, end of year bonus. Zgoimel chasodim. No, there's an outstanding debt. When you get up before the Ribbono Shel Olam and Shmoneh Esrei, Hashem has big complaints against us. There's a debt. There's avoin. There's pesha, and Hashem is goimel chasodim toivim ki chofetz chesed hu. He overcomes our insurrection, our transgressions. Beautiful. It's a whole different flavor, appreciation of the first bracha. Every word of the Nusach HaTfilah is rooted in the words of the Nevi'im. There's no, the Tfilah is not some poetic expression that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came up with. It's not original. The entire Nusach HaTfilah is plagiarism. That's what it is. I told you many times, as Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz used to say, if you steal intellectual property from one person, that's called plagiarism. If you steal from many, that's called research. Okay, so the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they took a pasuk from Micha, a pasuk from Yeshaya, a pasuk from Zechariah, a pasuk from Daniel, and they put it all together. And when you see the context from where they took it, the words, it totally changes the simple translation of the words of the Nusach HaTfilah. And here, case in point, Rabbi Kalman is saying, Ki chofetz chesed hu, goimel chasodim toivim. What is chesed? Chesed is to overcome noisei avoin v'oiver al pesha.
I see here in this pasuk something very interesting. This is a signature of the Navi Micha. Me.
What's
Micha? Mi
Kashem. Oh,
Micha. He gives like a signature now.
Wow.
Mi, but
he has Chesed. I hear this. Yeah. You're not going to hear this in the night call.
I didn't
In the morning call, you hear this. Yeah.
But he cannot say my name is that, so he put the kale in between.
Very good. Micha. Chamoicha is saying it's
and,
a new trick.
It says Kamocha, not Chamocha. Michael.
Beautiful. This is his signature. He's signing off. He's signing off. And his signature is his name. The mahus of your name, like the acrostic in every piyut. Every piyut has to have an acrostic. If you don't have an acrostic, it's not a piyut. Why is it like that? I don't know. That's how it is. That's how it is. You have to have, the name has to be there whether you like it or not. And this is his sign off. It's his acrostic. It's my name is Micha. Me is short for Mikel Kamocha. Beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Mikel Kamocha de Bekodesh. Exactly, right. Very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. I'll have to write that down later. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. Let's do the pasuk together. Pasuk Yates. Yoshuv Yirachameinu. May Hashem return. Yoshuv means may he return. Yirachameinu. May he have pity upon them. Yichboish avoinoy seinu, may he suppress. Here we have the word suppress, avoinoy seinu, their sins. V'sashlich b'mtzulos yom kol chatosa, may he cast into the depths of the sea all of their sins. It's interesting that today, the mtzulos yom is indeed a place where no man has gone before. Okay? It's amazing that we really, you think about it, they didn't say v'sashlich into outer space, into the kechavim. Because today, there's Star Trek. We go out there, okay? We explore. The Mitsulos Yom, indeed, today in the world, the people, you can't go there. I always say this, they know very little what's going on down there. They cannot get down there. Money has not been spent to do research to know exactly what's going on in the depths of the ocean. We know infinitely more what's going on a billion miles away from us then we know what's going on right here on this earth, down the bottom of the earth. Why? It's boring. No one's interested.
Not visible.
What?
Not visible.
So they could send a man to the moon. Don't you think they can spend $1 trillion to design some type of device that can go down to the depths of the ocean and see what's down there? And see what kind of creatures? And examine.
They're doing it now.
What?
They're doing it now.
But there are limits.
They can't go down to the bottom.
There are limits,
that,
pressure limits,
right?
On what materials are available.
So if they can go to the moon, they can go to Mars. They're trying to go to Mars. They can't go down to the earth, the bottom of the earth. They can't create a device, some type of device that can go down to the bottom of the earth and see what's doing down there. Isn't it amazing?
It's
because the pressure is too great. But so what, they can't spend $1 trillion? They've spent, how much have they spent to go to the moon? Billions? More than billions. Trillions. Talk about no one talking, we'll have all the countries of the world together. Okay, the Soviet Union, the United States, and all these other countries, how much do you want to combine the amount of money that's been spent over the last 100 years? It's not to be believed. And how much money has been spent to go down to the bottom of the ocean? Peanuts. Not even until recently did they find the Titanic. Okay, even the Titanic, which they even know where it is, right? Even that they couldn't go, they couldn't even find that until how many years they put out the movie? How long ago was it? They went down, they found the Titanic. It wasn't that long ago. So it goes to show, it's interesting over here that Hashem was ahead of his time. I'm going to put your sins in the place where no one's going to go. We appreciate today much more what it means, the Mitzulot Siyam as being a place where no one goes, a place that's off limits, totally off limits. V'sashlich, I will cast b'mtzulos yom kol chatosam. Mitzulos David, pasik yud tes. Yoshuv yirachameinu kasher me'oz. May Hashem, may he return, and may Hashem have pity upon you, upon them. Yirachameinu upon them. Kasher me'oz, like time immemorial. Yichbosh, yisbosh b'chosko es avoyno seina. This is a very, 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 very shocking translation. It's not what your grandmother taught you. What is it over here, yichbosh? I translated it to mean to suppress. That's not what the Mitzudos David says. We'll ask the other commentators. Ke'ad, but over here the Mitzvah stuff, it says, look at the Mitzvah Sion, the parallel, in Tefisa B'choska. The word Yichbois means to grab on very, very tightly. Really? To grab on very tightly, Avoino Seinu, grab on their sins and throw it. If you have something that is repulsive on your dining room table, then you grab hold very tightly this the very repulsive item and then take it out to this garbage and throw it in the garbage. You take a stick and you go like that, right? You take a garbage pail and you take a stick and you push it into the garbage and you hold your nose and you get rid of it. If you're really scared, you put on a suit. A hazmat suit, right? You call special units to come and take away the repulsive item.
You don't hold it tight.
Just the opposite. You want to get rid of it. You just throw it away. You get it out.
No, first you have to isolate.
Here it says, yichboish. According to the Mitzudos, his words are very clear. You take hold of it in the most detailed, precise way. With the greatest intensity. The greatest intensity. I'm sorry, that's not the way we live today. Something that you want to get rid of, you just brush away. You distance yourself and you push away. What?
Because it's something like surgery, where you have to excise it, you have to extract it and isolate it.
So then you have, okay, so you're saying something very, very interesting. You're saying that there are times, there are indeed times, when the item is dangerous, and it has to be confined, it has to be isolated, quarantined. And then when it's quarantined, indeed, you have to go analyze it to its greatest detail. So in other words, what are you really saying is that it's dangerous, it's contagious, it's lethal. It's not just if it's something which is not dangerous. So then, it's repulsive, you brush it aside. But when something is dangerous, it radiates, it's contagious, then you have no choice but to go and analyze it and study it to make sure you really got a hold on it. What is that coming to teach us? An avera, a sin, is contagious. A sin is poisonous. Person does an avera, no, you do an avera. No, you did an avera that affects your neshama, that prevents you from doing a mitzvah. The avera, other people saw you do the avera. In their minds, you may not realize, have been affected. Oh, it's not so bad. If he can do the Avera, I can also do the Avera. He can come late to davening, so davening is not so chashuv. If he can say a dirty joke, exactly. The choice of language of the Navi is revealing, is that an Avera is not just human waste. No one's coming, when it comes to human waste, to analyze every, to take hold of it in the greatest detail. That's not the way it works. You just get rid of it. But something that is toxic, that is contagious, that is radioactive, you got to deal with it. You got to make sure you completely ruin it, and you have to hold on to it very carefully. Yeah. Same idea. It's exactly the same idea. Because the Yetzer Hara is dangerous. It's not just repulsive.
Are you subjugating it or isolating it, as Michal said?
So the word Yichbosh, if you're saying,
you can't get rid of it.
According to this interpretation, when it says the word Yichbosh, and if we always like to say, we learn Mishnayis, Zeu Gibra Koivesh Es Yitzray. The common translation, if you go to any yeshiva, any person on the street, you're going to ask them, they'll say something that relates to the word suppress. Correct?
To conquer, suppress, restrain.
Yeshua conquered land. I think that was the word that was used.
He was Koivesh. There really means something a little different. Okay, there really means this. This is a different translation. It has an entirely different flavor, which means know your enemy. Know your enemy. According to the Mitzvah David, the words are very powerful. In the Mitzvah Sion, Inyan, Tefisa Bechoska, to take hold of it firmly. Kimo Vayich b'shum la'avodim, they conquered as slaves. They were taken hold. They, in this context, it means that you are now our slave. You're us. We're not removing it. In fact, we're embracing you for a purpose. Yichboish avoinoseinu. So here it's giving us an entirely new understanding of a sin. A sin is something, basically the expression in English. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Know every detail and take hold of it. And what do you do with it? Eliminate it. You cannot eliminate it unless you know what you're dealing with. If you just think you're brushing it aside, don't worry, it'll come back to haunt you. Don't know your enemy. Exactly. It's a whole new flavor of the meaning of the word. And when you deal yichbayish or akovish as yitzroy, it's a whole new flavor. You have to, the yetzahara, you have to know exactly who you're dealing with and take hold of it. And you take hold of it, I got you, you're mine. You're mine, I'll do with you what I want. You know, sometimes you can use the yetzahara to your benefit. We all know that. The whole tafkid is, does not say b'chol libicha. B'chol levavicha. The two desires, the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. Okay, further in the Mitzvah Tzavid. The Mitzvah Tzavid Yichbosh Yit Yispois B'choska Es Avon Esein L'man Lo Yib Nifroim Be'itanu Gimul Ho'inish. Hashem will hold on to it with precision and eliminate it so that we should not suffer the Gimul Ho'inish. I was reading in a journal. I could not, my eyes popped out. Reading a journal put in a real organization, and there was an ad there. And the Eitz said, we want to thank this person for eliminating the Noshim Nachriyos. I said, what? What in the world are they write here? For eliminating the Noshim Nachriyos from our society. I said, what? Who in the world would write something like that? And what editor would allow such a thing to appear in a journal of an organization? Okay. I don't know. It doesn't sound good, that's for sure. Let's go further. I would bring it in, but you may know the organization. You for sure do know the organization. You probably may even know the person who wrote the it. I can't show it to you. It'll be Lashon Hara. Kol Milsa Dimis Amra, you're asking a question, Halachos Lashon Hara. You're asking a good question, Lashon. Kol milsa de misama biape tlasa less be mishum lishna bisha. Anything that is public knowledge is not Lashon Hara. That is one of the most misunderstood. We once gave a share on this. Misunderstood mamari chazal. Just because something is public knowledge does not mean you are allowed to further. Spread it. Not allowed to further spread what? Because if a person would not have known about it, even though it's in the newspapers, it's in the New York Post, not, guess where I was? Not everyone reads daily news. Not everyone reads the daily news in the New York Post. They said, which one went out of business? Always forget. The Post went out of business? They're both going strong?
No, they're both going.
Okay, not everyone reads the daily news and the New York Post and the National Enquirer. Not everyone reads these papers, so they often have the most sensational scandals of the Frum Jews. If you want to know the most sensational scandals that are going on by Frum Jews, you are sure to find it in the daily news of the New York Post, the New York Times, Jewish Week. Different. They have a different approach. They have a different mahalach, but it's correct. But if you really want to know the real juicy gossip. The New York Times is not necessarily interested in every scandal.
They were yesterday.
I don't know what happened. All right, fine. That's for them. That's talk of the rally. That is up the rally. But I'm saying, like, let's say that some from person was didn't whatever it is. You know what I mean? So yeah. Is it a mitzvah for me to go? And if you go over the New York, the Daily News, wow, they'll tell you play by play. Play by play, every juicy detail of what the avera that this guy did, and this guy could be your next door neighbor. And I've had that. I'm totally in the dark. Everyone knows that mamash like a neighbor. What it said there, I only learned about this a year later, And they had them every detail. It's unbelievable. So if I don't read the Daily News and New York Post, is it a mitzvah to tell me? And something that has no effect on my life, I'm not in business with this person. He's not lending. I'm not borrowing money from him. I have no shaykhus to him. Is it a mitzvah for someone to go and tell me because it's public knowledge that a million people in New York City read this? Well, I didn't read it. And most people, they don't read it. Is there a mitzvah? He'll tell me, call milza de misamra biape telos, unless be mishra mitlishna bishna. According to the vast majority of paiskim, it is 100% lashon hara. And that maimer chazal means something entirely different. We won't spend the whole show on that, what a maimer chazal means. So it is lashon hara. It really is. You have to be very careful when it comes to lashon hara. Things that are not nogea you, it's not important. It's something to always think about. If it's not okay to the person, so don't spread it, even though it is public knowledge. Next, in the Mitzvot of it, Yosha. So therefore, Hashem v'sashlich alaman lo yu v'nifram b'meitam. So Hashem is going to remove, eliminate the averos v'sashlich. It's an alaymar lo yizachu le'onish aleim kiilu hishlachtem ba'imik hayam she'enam nirim. According to the Mitzvot of it, he says something very, very important, very explosive. This is a big topic. What is it about the Mitzulos Yom? And the reason why it's so critical to know the Mitzulos Yom in this pasuk, Rabbi Kalman really hit upon something very important, Mikamocha, is there's a lot of parallelism between Micha and Shiras Yom. Okay, this is a whole sugya in and of itself. Shiras Yom is a very hard thing. It's very hard to understand the Shira Sayyam. One of the most difficult collection of psukim in Chumash. Okay, to understand the Pshuta Shal Mikra of Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir, Moshe, Venez, Shira, Zoz Hashem, Vayim, Ashur, Hashem, Ki, Go, O, Go, all these expressions. And it says there, Shlachta Vim. Tamos Yichas Yumu, Yardu Vim Tsoilois, Kemo, Oven.
Something even deeper than
they went down into the mitzulois k'moven. Okay, that's one expression. The other expression we had over here, mikel k'moicha. That's one of the most critical psukim of the Shira. Mi k'moicha bo'elim Hashem. Mi k'moicha ne'edar ba'kodesh. It's repeated twice. And here Micha is using that very same expression. And here he says the word bimtzulois. And there are other expressions which we'll come to. If we can uncover here clarity in what he means, v'sashlich b'mtzulois yom kol chatoisam, we will be able to gain much greater understanding in what it means in the yam, and what it means in Shiras Yam, that the Egyptians were thrown into the mitzulois kimboi oven. And the first little tea leaf, the first little insight into this sugya is what the Mitzudos Tavit just said, that the goal, the advantage of the Mitzulos Yom is you can't see it. You can't see it. Well, you don't. That's a very fascinating thing. You can't see it. If you can't see it, it can have an effect on you. It can't harm you. Okay, we have to see. Yitzulam lo yizachu le'onesh aleim ki ilu hishlachten ba'imek hayam she'enom nirim. That's an explosive expression which we're going to come back to. That's next pasuk. Pasuk. It's nachalatecha. Behar nachalascha. Behar nachalascha l'sheiris nachalosoi. Another word, a third word, another parallel between this and the Shiras Hayam. Excellent. Next, go pasukhof. Pasukhof. Titein emes liyakoyf. Chesed liavraham. Asher nishpata la'avaseinu mine kedem. Grant emes to Yaakov, chesed to Avram Avinu. What happened to Yitzchak? Where did Yitzchak go? He disappeared here, the Yitzchak. Asher nishpat alav asenu, you have sworn to our forefather, to their forefathers, mimei kedem, from time immemorial, days of yore. Let's see Mitzudos David, tchav titein ritzen alaymar. Whenever he says those words, you know you're going for a ride. Roller coaster. Ritzen alaymar is a stop sign. Just like Rashi, Kolaymar, the stop sign, Ha'anes lanu divarecha, this a request. Ribbono shel olam, we demand emes. We demand yashrus. right? Give a clap on the table. I want the MS. Ha'anes lanu divorecha, your words. Asher hiftachta, you have promised. Liyakov, k'mo shenemar, uforatzto yom avokedma. Hashem says that you'll break forth. Chesed li'avram, return to lemar, hi ti tashlum gemul chastoy shel avram. This will be a reward to Avram Avinu. V'chasher nishpat la'avosin meikedem. Oh, so here the Mitzudas David does not want to tolerate the absence of Yitzchak. See, this is a big, big sugya. He does not want to tolerate. How could you ignore, insult Yitzchak? So he says, you swore la'avosin meikedem akedosah shel Yitzchak kimoy shenemar ki binishpatin Hashem v'yirash zarecha eshar oivav. So here we are for the first time ever, the Avos out of order. Avraham, Yaakov, and Yitzchak. Wow. Whole new order. Okay? And Yadus, where? What? There's the reverse. X, this reverse. So now we have three orders. We have in the Toichacha, we have them both ways. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. In the Toichacha, it goes reverse. Forwards and then reverse. In the Chukos side, it goes both ways. It ends off Avraham Yitzchak, then it goes backwards. And here we have Micha, Avraham, Yaakov, and then Yitzchak comes back in the Milkus. This we have to come back to. We're going to come back to. Okay, we'll come back to now. Okay, Ishara. Now before we conclude, I want to tell you one var. We have 3 minutes on my clock here. 3 minutes. I want to tell you one var I really want to say on Friday, which fits into this possibly like a glove. And that is over here, according to the Mitzudos, we're describing over here the promise of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, specifically in regard to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there are many things that Hashem promised the others. Hashem promised the others that they'll have children. But one of the truth is, one of the main thrust in the Torah of Hashem's haftacha to the others is in regard to Eretz Yisrael. There are two pillars in the Yadus. There is Moshe Rabbeinu, and there are the Avos. These are the two pillars. Everything in the Torah begins with Moshe Rabbeinu. Even the mitzvahs that were given to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, whatever you'll find in the Torah, don't be medaktik in what it says, because it was renewed. It was renewed according to the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem gave Avraham the mitzvah of Bris Milah, but why do we do Bris Milah? We do not do Bris Milah because of Avraham Avinu. We do Bris Milah because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was given Bris Milah also because of the Avos. But the laws, the details of Bris Milah are primarily Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach are a different set of rules for us. The details of what the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach are for the Goyim are not the same rules of the Zion mitzvahs for Klal Yisrael. The rules of murder are not the same. For a guy to murder a fetus, to abort a fetus, is murder. For a Jew to abort a fetus is not murder. It's not a good thing, but it's not murder. If you steal less than a pruta, a non-Jew, he's chayv misa. If a Jew steals $1 million, less than a pruta, he's exempt. If he steals $1 million, you don't kill him. You don't kill him. He lives. Okay, that's a major difference. A major difference in if a Jew steals $1 million versus a non-Jew stealing a less than a pruta. Pachos mishava pruta. Pachos mishava pruta. A goy is chayev misa. Death. A Jew steals $1 million. Punish him. But you don't kill him. So the rules are very, very different. This all is Moshe Rabbeinu. But so what then are the Avos? The main legacy of the Avos, without question, is Yerushas Ha'aretz. Okay, we have a problem with that today. Because today no one's running to Eretz Yisrael. We like to visit. It's a nice place to visit. But Chutz Li'aretz is where people want to stay. That's a problem. That's not where a Jew belongs. A Jew belongs in the Eretz Yisrael. If we would all be in Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach would for sure come. I mean, I don't give Mashiach. It's a problem. So why don't we go? Okay, we have excuses. Are they good excuses? We convince ourselves they're good excuses. Are they really good excuses? Who am I to say? Now what am I trying to bring out? This is interesting. You look at Rashi very carefully in last week's parasha. There are three different blessings. The blessing of Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak and Yaakov in regard to Eretz Yisrael are very different. And Rashi quotes Yaakov Avinu, Titin Emes LiYaakov. What is the Emes LiYaakov? Uforatzta. This pasuk that may your boundaries break forth. Avraham Avinu, when you look in the Pesukim, I'm not going to go, it's late now, but you look in the Pesukim in Rashi, in this Pesach's parasha, where it describes Yaakov Avinu has a conversation with Yosef, and Yaakov Avinu tells him about Hashem should give you the blessings of your forefathers. Rashi there says that there were three blessings given in regard for Eretz Yisrael. A blessing to Avraham Avinu, blessing to Yitzchak, and a blessing to Yaakov. And Rashi quotes the three psukim. The blessing to Avraham Avinu are the boundaries. Exactly where Eretz Yisrael begins and where Eretz Yisrael ends. Yitzchak, it was not boundaries. It was a general description of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov, Hashem went further. May your boundaries burst forth. May the borders be
unlimited.
Eretz Yisrael should spread. What's the difference? Let me tell you the difference in a nutshell. Avraham Avinu is the midah of chesed. Yitzchak is the midah of avodah, davening. Yaakov is emes, is Torah. Chazal say the bodei kinesios of chutz la'aretz are going to be picked up and brought to Eretz Yisrael, because the bodei kinesios have a din of Eretz Yisrael. At kidei kach, I saw a teshuva. You're going to blew my mind. This teshuva. Let us say you have a shul and there's a tree that grows in the shul. Okay, the old land house, and there's fruit. You have a tree. I plant a tree here. And there's fruit growing, real fruit. Does that fruit, is the real Sir Yishailah, have a din of Orla? Kilaya Kerem, Chumas and Maestres. Midoraisa, Orla, Kilaya Kerem, all these things apply. Midoraisa only in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman Azed applies Midrabanan because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Do the Peirois that grow in the Beis HaKnesses have a din? Kedushas Haaretz. Isn't an amazing question? Why? Because the Beis HaKnesses, Chazal say, Osid Bote Kinesius, Bote Otbet Bote, I'm not sure if it's Bote Midrash, maybe he said it also, but Bote Kinesius for sure, are going to be Nekar, and they go together, they're going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't it amazing? Amazing? Where does that come from? That comes from Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak's brach of Eretz Yisrael was not just where you, the land, there's an expansion. But not everywhere, not in the street, not on Avenue M. It has to be in a makom of Kedusha.
So it's like it has the status of an embassy.
Correct. Avraham Avinu, there's no embassy. The bracha that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu of Eretz Yisrael is only when you get off the plane. Only in the land. You get down on your knees and you kiss the earth. They can no longer do that. They took that away from you. Allah. Okay? What a shame. They should never have taken away people's ability to kiss the earth when they come to Eretz Yisrael. It took away the whole fun of going to Eretz Yisrael. They should have a tunnel. You come there, you get up, they have a tunnel. It'll take you to where you need to go. Okay, they took away from you that ability. It's a real shame, you should know. It's a real shame. That was the whole Hana years ago, right? I'm not that everyone will agree with me. Now, I don't know where now also. I don't know where they were. It's like they took you out to the desert somewhere. They have to taxi for 20 minutes to get there to take off and land. I don't know what's going on. But Avraham Avinu, it's the land, the Zehu. There are no embassies. The bracha to Yitzchak is, that's right, but we have embassies. There are embassies all over the world. Every Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash is an embassy. That's the bracha of Eretz Yisrael to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is not the same bracha. There's a Hoysofa. And then comes Yaakov. You know what the brach of Yaakov is? Eretz Yisrael is even in the New York City subway. You go down in there, and you're honest, and you pay the fare like an honest Jew, and you don't turn the you don't jump the turnstile. MS Torah, you learn a Daf Gemara on the subway when you're sitting in the subway surrounded by 10 nationalities. That's Eretz Yisrael. You're living in Eretz Yisrael. Torah could make uforatzta. The Kedusha can spread not just in the embassy, everywhere. Because Yaakov Avinu, the Koyach of Torah, spreads the Kedushas Ha'oretz to the entire world. Avraham Avinu, it's in the land. Yitzchak, it's in the land plus the embassies. What's in the embassies? Mekoymos of Tefillah, that learning and Tefillah Mekoymos. Avoida, Avoida is in a Mekoym. Torah is a hanhog of chayim, a way of life, a derech chayim. And a derech chayim, Eretz Yisrael spreads to the entire world. And that's what the Mitzvah stuff it said. The Mitzvah says, Hashem hametz Yaakov, uforatzta yomov akedma. The brach of Eretz Yisrael was starting off with Yaakov. We're in Golos. Micha is talking to the B'nai, he's talking what's going to be in Golos. Eretz Yisrael should come to you. Should come to you wherever you are. Wherever you're learning a Daf Gemara, that's where Eretz Yisrael comes to you. Chesed Avram. And let's not forget, the land is also important. Don't forget about the land. The land also, the boundaries are also critical. Asher Nishbat L'Avosenim Yimei Kedem. And then he goes back to Yitzchak. Why is Yitzchak last? I don't know. We have to come back to this idea why Yitzchak is last. In the Mitzvah of David, he learns Yitzchak is last. His Kedushas Ha'aretz of the embassies. Well, maybe I think I have the answer. Because La'asa Lava, what's going to happen? We're going backwards. Eretz Yisrael is where? It's everywhere. Wherever you learn Torah. Then we go back to the land. But in the land, there are parts of the land that have more Kedusha. Which parts have more Kedusha? The Beis HaMikdash. The Bate Kinnosis, Bate Midrashais. They have even more Kedusha. Those, where did they come from, those Bate Kinnosis, Bate Midrashais? They came from Chutz Li'aretz. So there is a sense in the order. What is the order? The order is first you can find Eretz Yisrael, the Bracha, in Morocco, in the street. Then we're going to come into the land, just walking the streets of Eretz Yisrael, you'll have Kedusha. And then the most intense Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael will be in the Bate Kinesius, the Bate Midrashos of Eretz Yisrael. Where did they come from? They came from Chutz Li'aretz, they planted in the land, the Mokams of Avoida. So indeed, we're going in higher and higher Madrega. Kedusha in the street, in the world. Kedusha on the streets of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha in the Mekoymos HaKedoshim of Eretz Yisrael. The three levels going higher and higher. Okay, we'll stop here. We're going to do today...